This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, August 10th. I'm Audrey McCabe. As of yesterday evening, the Elk Fire had increased to over 7,000 acres with 33% containment. Officials say this weekend saw moderate fire activity along portions of the western edge, which was expected based on current conditions and fuels in that area. White smoke was visible yesterday afternoon and into the evening, an indication of slower-moving fire burning through dead and down beetle-killed timber. Dead and down material continues to be the primary fuel carrying fire across the landscape. Scattered showers developed south of that fire yesterday, but no significant moisture fell over the fire area. Night operations continued through this morning, focused on monitoring activity and watching for winds that can influence fire behavior even as temperatures cool. And the Gold Mountain Fire is now 90% contained, and many personnel are working on repair efforts. This work includes road grading, reseeding, and repairing containment lines. If you want to learn more about these efforts and the people behind them, check out Friday's newscast at kvnf.org, on Spotify, or on Apple Podcasts. The Colorado Department of Transportation is engaged in a different kind of repair work. Due to recent floods, CDOT is removing debris and cleaning drainages at several slide paths and creek crossings between Ridgeway and Ouray. Motorists may encounter delays and alternating traffic while crews repair and clean highway shoulders, drainages, and culverts. As part of that effort, CDOT is beginning a week-long operation today to remove remaining burn scar debris from underneath the Cutler Creek Bridge structure, about 4 miles north of Ouray. Large logs, rocks, and mud will be transported to stockpile locations away from the drainage. CDOT says motorists should plan for 15 to 20-minute delays and should allow for extra travel time. Operations to clear rockfall and mud debris between Telluride and Norwood are also beginning. Multiple large mud and rock slides crossed CO-145 on July 21st and require extensive work to clear shoulders, culverts, and drainages. Activity from the shoulder of the road between Norwood and Placerville can be expected to continue through late August. CDOT also says that as monsoon weather patterns remain in the forecast, crews are prepared to monitor and safely respond to flooding hazards. Motorists are reminded that safety closures may be put in place to protect people from the potential of flash floods, mudslides, rockfalls, or other hazards that can be triggered by heavy rains, especially in burn scar areas. Statewide e-bike rebates are back in Colorado. The popular program first launched in 2023, but closed applications early the next year after using up its funding. Eligible residents can receive a $1,000 rebate towards the purchase of an e-bike. People buying an e-bike cargo bike or adaptive e-bike can qualify for an extra $300. The program will reopen August 24th with a one-week application window. A new study has identified what researchers have dubbed snow eater heat waves. The early season weather patterns are making water supplies less predictable. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Riedel reports.
Here's how it works. During unusually hot spring days, a big dome of high pressure sits over the mountains, and temperatures don't dip below freezing, even overnight. Normally, spring snow melts a little during the day and refreezes at night. But when it doesn't refreeze, the whole snowpack heats up and melts fast. Sometimes at nearly double the normal rate. Dan McAvoy with the nonprofit Desert Research Institute helped lead the study. He says that surge of water can catch reservoir operators off guard.
Is there room in the reservoir? You know, they're used to it more slowly coming down the system. And then that rapid melt is going to have a much higher potential to cause flooding if there's enough snow left.
And McAvoy says these heat waves are showing up more often and earlier in the spring because of climate change, meaning water managers may need to adapt more often in the years ahead. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Riedel.
Beavers have a big impact on water ecosystems in the region. By building dams, they can slow rivers and create wetlands and provide habitat for wildlife. Beavers also help fireproof landscapes. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KFFR's Ryan Wilson spoke with Abby Loberg with the Upper Colorado Watershed Environment Team about efforts to restore beaver habitat in Rocky Mountain National Park.
Tell me about specifically the Kawanichi Valley over there in Rocky Mountain National Park and how beavers were integral to that ecosystem. And when they were gone, what happened to that ecosystem?
We have found over the course of the last century plus or so, it seems that when humans try to change rivers to benefit humans, we tend to harm the natural environment. But when beavers change rivers to benefit beavers, they tend to improve the natural environment. But they noticed that especially in the past 20 years or so, where we had a drying climate, where we've had more and more of the, you know, grazing herbivores like elk and moose in Rocky Mountain National Park in that low valley there, not particularly anxious to leave and roam around, whereas they would normally do. But in the national park, they know they can't get shot. And so they don't like move along and go to the national forest where they might become targets for hunters. And so what they did is they overbrowsed and overgrazed the willow, which are the beaver food in the Kawanichi Valley. And we had lower river flows and we had higher temperatures. And basically the beaver's habitat went away for them. It wasn't really even so much a human caused thing, which is unusual. But because of that, the rest of the, you know, now the river has become incised. It's become channelized. It doesn't have its natural seasonal flooding stages. It doesn't have its natural wetlands like it used to. And so the Kawanichi Valley group, which includes many, many different entities, has said, you know what, let's try some things. And so they built 12-foot tall fences around acres and acres along these streams and river bottoms. And then they started to build some mimicking structures to seem like beaver dams. And they thought, well, it took 20 years to really collapse this system. Will it take 5 or 10 to rejuvenate it, to restore it? And what they found is it's taking 1 or 2, and it's lovely. It's amazing to see that the river wants to again flow the way it has always flowed, which was up and over its banks. You know, then that stores in groundwater and it recharges the groundwater. It filters the water. It brings back the bugs. It regrows the willows. And this time around, the willows don't get to be just munched away by the elk and moose. And so the beaver have a chance to come back and fix what was broken.
And in some instances, these beaver areas also act as fire breaks. How does that work?
It's amazing to see all over the West, in California and Utah and Oregon and Washington and Colorado, when there is a healthy beaver riparian system and wetland, as you can imagine. You know, a wetland is a soggy, wet sponge. And when a fire tries to flow over it or past it, if you see a fire like East Troublesome back in 2020, it blew through that dry, you know, non-vegetated Kawanichi Valley. And if you look at the pictures of the Kawanichi Valley from 2004, that should have been a very lush wetland with actual water, being a fire break there that could have benefited and really slowed. Now that was a huge fire. It was a very fast fire with a lot of wind. But there are photos from many of these devastating Western wildfires where the beaver wetland completely unscathed. It is there. It is green, and on all sides of it, it is this brown, parched, torched burn scar, and the beaver wetland makes it.
And we're even seeing in this drought condition that we're in this summer, fields that would normally be green right now turn brown at this time of year. And I'm kind of shocked at how brown they are. But you think part of that is also the loss of beaver habitat.
In some places, yes. In some places, these, you know, these local pastures and everywhere in the West have been, most of our ranchers here don't want to necessarily keep the beaver on their places. Sometimes they do. And sometimes they have, you know, figured out a way to, you know, you've got your space, I've got mine, kind of areas, but, you know, a lot of the same type of topography that beaver like is the same kind of topography that ranch lands like to be on. So what we see, even in an irrigated meadow, sometimes the irrigated meadows can help to slow a fire. But again, it's a single height. It's a single species of plant. And a beaver meadow is just, it's just a longer, you know, water storage system.
KFFR's Ryan Wilson was speaking with Abby Loberg with the Upper Colorado Watershed Environment Team. That's your KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, August 10th. I'm Audrey McCabe.